This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes out of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're looking at the second of seven churches here today. We're looking at this famous, we're looking at the persecuted church of Smyrna. I don't know how famous they are. I'll say this, the church is still around today, 2,000 years later. It's about one of the only ones out of these seven that's still around. They also were led, the bishop, or pastor there, was a famous saint whose name was Polycarp. He learned at the feet of the Apostle John. Now, this man, they tried to threaten him. You see, in Smyrna, the city Smyrna was the center for emperor worship there, and they tried to force him, and they forced everyone to bow the knee. The famous quote was, "Swear by the allegiance of Caesar." And then everyone had to bow the knee and worship Caesar. And they had to burn incense every year and proclaim that Caesar was Lord. Now, the pastor of the First Baptist of Smyrna there said, "In a pig's eye am I doing that. I ain't not bowing that knee to you. I bow the knee to Jesus Christ and Him alone." As you can imagine, that caused a little bit of trouble there in Smyrna. And Polycarp was killed for that, for refusing to bow the knee and worship Caesar. This is the second of seven churches known as the persecuted church of Smyrna. This is a short message. It's only 30 minutes long, so it's cut into three parts. We heard part one yesterday, part two today. We'll hear part three here tomorrow, and tomorrow, Friday's broadcast, heading into the weekend. For more info on this ministry, you can go to WGODradio.com. There's a lot more there. There's links to over 5 years worth of podcasts there by clicking on the link that says prior broadcasts. Then you click on another link. That'll take you to my podcasting page. We're on Facebook as well. You could have downloaded this program on Saturday by going to WGOD Radio on Facebook. You'll find us there. Here's part two now, this message, the persecuted church at Smyrna. I know Ron, he's not here today. He's 83. How old are you, Roy? How old's Roy, Donna? 84. Young guy. This guy's got a year or two on you. One note I have says he was 86. The quote says 85 years. I guess he was one when he started serving them. We'll give him a year. 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. This is the kind of attitude that we need to have. Now, some 50 years before this happened to Polycarp, the Lord Jesus dictates a letter to the intended pastor of this church at Smyrna. Smyrna, like Ephesus, was a proud and beautiful city. Smyrna also had earned the right to be self-governing, had a large library, a stadium, and the largest public theater in Asia. Mount Pagus rose above the harbor with an acropolis built on it that was considered the city's crown. A famous golden street traversed the city, with a temple of Zeus on one end
and a temple to a local goddess, Cyplene, at the other end. Other temples were in the city too. Apollo had one. Asclepius had one. Aphrodite also had a temple. All these were in this city. Now, perhaps even more important, the city had become the center for cult emperor worship. Now, Smyrna received permission to build a temple to the emperor Tiberius in 23 BC. Under the emperor Domitian, emperor worship was required for all Roman citizens. Those who refused could receive the death penalty. Once a year, all citizens were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. While this was more of an act of a political loyalty than a religious act, the citizen had to say, while burning the incense, "Caesar is Lord." Many Christians considered this a blasphemous act and refused to do it. In addition to being a center for the imperial cult, Smyrna also had a large Jewish population as well that actively opposed the Christians. Thus, the church in this city struggled against two hostile forces: a Gentile population that was loyal to Rome, supported emperor worship, and a large Jewish population opposed to Christianity. Now, persecution and suffering are inevitable in that kind of environment. Years later, in AD 156, the 86-year-old church father Polycarp was burned alive as the 12th martyr of Smyrna. Obviously, the church in Smyrna was persecuted. That's the history of the persecuted church. Now, there's a double whammy. You have evil, Satan-led unbelievers and God-haters, and you got these angry Jews who hated Jesus with a passion. Now remember, this was the Jews' punishment for rejecting Jesus Christ, for rejecting their Messiah. When Jesus was about to be crucified, remember what they said? They so proudly said, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." And still to this day, they're paying for that. And God said, "I reckon I can accommodate you. Let his blood be on you and on your children." Now, verse 8 of chapter 2. "Now unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Not many can claim that, right? First and last, who was dead and came to life again. Ha! No one can claim that, only the Son of God. He is the beginning, he is the end. The only thing he shares in common with us on this list is he died. And he came to life. This here is what sets Christianity apart from everything and everybody else. And that is, death is not the end for you. This here is what Jesus did with death and the power of death. This is Colossians 2:15. It says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he mocked them in public and triumphing over them in it." So what makes your religion different than anybody else? Well, here it is, right here. The Lord Jesus Christ came to life again. Death has no hold over him. And like we saw last week, that Jesus has the keys of death and of hell. You know, people say all the time, there are many ways to God and there are many ways to eternal life. But Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, when he came to life again, God gave his stamp of approval on his Son and on every word that he said. So this letter comes from the one who came to life again. Verse 9. I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So he's saying, I haven't forgotten about you. Matter of fact, this church here has no correction from our Lord, only encouragement here to this church in Smyrna. I know what you're going through. I know your works, he says. How about yours? Does he know your works? What are you doing with the talents he's given you? Does Jesus know your works? Again, the summons to appear in the highest court in the land says this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. Number two, Jesus says he knows their tribulation. As I said last week, all Christians are confronted with tribulation. The Lord said in John 16:33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. See, what you won't have is the wrath of God is a difference between the two. Like what happened in Sodom. See, God removed the righteous first in Sodom. We all have always been subject to the wrath of Satan. Always. What we're not subject to is the wrath of God. God has not appointed us to wrath, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, but to obtain salvation, not wrath. Number three, he says, I know your poverty. You know, sometimes you think you're poor, but you're actually rich. Like what the Lord told this church. Now, the church in Laodicea, as we're about to see, had the opposite problem. They thought that they were rich, and Jesus said, no, you're not rich. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Here, these people think they're poor, but they're actually rich. You see, we have an incorrect view of riches and poverty. True riches are not measured by one's bank account. I think of what God said to Samuel the prophet. He said, God does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Next up in this text, the Lord says this to them: I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So, how can you say you are a Jew but not be one? I mean, either you are or you're not, right? No. This is what the Apostle Paul said, Romans 2:28. He said, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in flesh. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.